This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, August 4th. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, the Forest Service has lifted fire restrictions along the Northern Front Range, but urges campers to exercise caution. The Boulder Fringe Festival is back and kicks off tonight with an opening reception. We'll have a couple of performers here in the studio. And finally, our regular Wednesday feature, Naturally, with herbalist Brigitte Mars. A BBC update and commentary from Jim Hightower are at the bottom of the hour. And then it's a public affair. Sam Fuqua will bring us his quarterly show on conflict resolution. Today we'll focus on school conflict, and the phone lines will be open to take your calls. Then at 9:30, the Morning Sound Alternative comes your way to bring you a mix of eclectic music until noon. That's all still ahead this morning after these headlines with KGNU's Jamie Sudler.
Yesterday, the Boulder City Council approved a draft agreement over the annexation of the CU South property. The measure passed its first reading at a special meeting. Council members Mark Wallach, Sam Weaver, Mary Young, Aaron Brockett, Rachel Friend, and Adam Swetlick voted in favor. Council members Bob Yates and Junie Joseph recused themselves on the annexation question. The Daily Camera reports that Councilmember Mirabai Nagel moved to take the issue off the consent agenda, saying it needed to go before voters and the council should not be voting on something that is only in draft form. However, she was the only council person to vote for that proposal. If the agreement is approved, the city would annex more than 300 acres near U.S. 36 and Table Mesa Drive. The university would develop the property in exchange for open space and flood mitigation from South Boulder Creek. On September 14th, the council will hold a public hearing on the matter, with a decision likely to occur a week later. The Boulder Valley School Board held their bi-monthly meeting last night, a day after the County Board of Health updated its mask mandate for schools. Steve Miller has more on the story.
Monday's Boulder Valley County Board of Health meeting implemented its mask mandate, requiring everyone 2 years or older in school buildings and child care facilities to wear masks, regardless of their vaccination status. The Daily Camera reports that at last night's meeting, Boulder Valley School Board members heard more details about how schools will implement a mask mandate and other coronavirus mitigation requirements in the fall. With masks in place, quarantine rules will be loosened, reducing school disruptions. Students and teachers will not need to quarantine after a routine classroom exposure as long as they are masked. Students and staff members who are vaccinated and aren't symptomatic also are exempt from quarantines. If students stay home because of a COVID-19 diagnosis or quarantine, classroom monitors will be in place for online support. Families whose students cannot medically tolerate a face covering can request an exemption through an existing school district waiver process. Boulder County's mask order provides exceptions for students who cannot play instruments while wearing masks, for hearing impaired students, and for those who are alone in a closed room. Families can choose to enroll in the district's online schools, Link, or Boulder Universe through August 31st. There will be a back-to-school vaccination event in Lafayette on Saturday, August 21st, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Lamont Doe's Park. The clinic is open to everyone age 12 and above. The clinic will provide the Pfizer vaccine. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
And masks will be required at various higher education institutions in Boulder County. CU Boulder, Naropa University, and the Front Range Community College announced yesterday that masks are necessary at indoor public places. Naropa and the Community College began their masking mandates yesterday, and CU's starts Friday. The Daily Camera reports the mandates came after the county's decision to require masks for schools and child care facilities, regardless of vaccination status. Attorneys representing Boulder County asked a judge to dismiss a lawsuit brought by the Denver Water Department that claims the expansion of Gross Reservoir is being delayed. Denver Water filed the case in federal court about a month ago, saying that the Boulder County commissioners are taking too long to consider a permit needed for a huge addition to the dam southwest of the city of Boulder. A release from the county explains that the state's largest water provider wants the judge to rule that the authority of the county is preempted by federal approval, but the lawyers for Boulder County say that the court already ruled about 2 years ago that the commissioners have the authority to issue or deny a permit for the dam expansion. Colorado Governor Jared Polis and officials from the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced yesterday that the state's plan to manage hemp growing has been approved. Colorado's hemp management plan includes details on practices and procedures for hemp producers to operate in compliance with federal law. In a release, the governor said the state is the undisputed leader in the cannabis industry, adding that hemp is a versatile crop. He said they are looking forward to seeing how it can be developed for fuel and food, among other uses. Kate Greenberg, the state's commissioner of agriculture, said that the program for hemp growing is an important tool in keeping family farmers alive. The approval comes more than 18 months after the state provided comprehensive comments to the federal government about Colorado's plan. Boulder police are looking for more information about a drive-by shooting on early Monday morning. Around 12:40 a.m., at least 7 rounds were fired into 4 houses in the 1800 block of Yarmouth Avenue. According to a release from the police department, no one was injured, but 2 bullets entered a child's room in one of the houses. Authorities are asking any witnesses, victims, or anyone who has information to call the police. In today's weather, there will be areas of smoke with sunny skies and highs in the mid-90s. An air quality alert has been issued for today, at least until about 4 p.m. Concentrations of ozone and fine particulates are expected to reach the unhealthy for sensitive groups category. Tomorrow it will be a bit cooler under sunny skies with the highs in the low 90s. Right now it's about 72 along the Front Range. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. An air quality alert is once again in effect today for the Front Range Urban Corridor through at least 4 p.m. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment warns increased concentrations of ozone and fine particulates may make the air unhealthy for sensitive groups. The CDPHE recommends limiting the use of non-electric vehicles while the advisory is in effect. Smoky skies are in the forecast for today and tomorrow until predicted thunderstorms roll in Thursday evening. The National Weather Service has issued a hazardous weather outlook for today due to hot and dry conditions with an elevated fire danger. Meanwhile, the National Forest Service has lifted fire restrictions within the Pawnee National Grassland and the Clear Creek, Boulder, and Canyon Lakes districts, Ranger districts. Lifting fire restrictions during a hazardous weather outlook and in the midst of a long string of air quality alerts may sound like a mixed message from authorities. But Fire and Aviation Staff Officer for the Arapahoe and Roosevelt National Parks, Cody Peel, says the amount of moisture received across the Front Range in recent weeks has put parklands below the high-risk threshold.
Just weather alone doesn't drive whether or not we need to be in or out of fire restrictions. If we follow just the weather patterns, like, you know, red flag warning day or not, we'd be flipping the switch on and off throughout the week, which would just, we can't do that. You know, when we have people coming and going, if we changed our minds with the weather and didn't follow the scientific data that shows what the fuel's conditions are, then we'd be going in and out of restrictions versus just staying in for, you know, a long duration of time until the fuel's conditions on the ground change. That's what we're looking at. We're not looking at the weather per se. We're looking at the moisture in the fuels.
As with any change to public health and safety measures, Peel says the decision to lift the fire restrictions came after careful deliberation, weighing the risks and the pros and cons.
Well, the benefits are, you know, basically so people can, you know, enjoy the campfire or the camping experience that they've all come to enjoy, you know, the ambiance, you know, the gathering around the campfire, you know, it's just what people do, you know, it, you know, when they camp, you know, to warm up in the morning, to stay warm in the evenings, you know, things of that nature. You know, we serve a lot of people, a lot of public, and so we got to, you know, put some of their expectations, you know, as part of the, like their experience on the forest, just like mountain biking, you know, nice trails, you know, to have clean restrooms, everything else. And this, so this is just opening it up to the public land. It's the public's land.
But the lifting of fire restrictions on public lands requires campers to do their part to prevent forest fires. Forest Service Public Affairs Specialist Reed Armstrong explains.
For people who are out there having campfires, it's really important that they are prepared to put that fire out completely, and that they know the proper way to build and maintain a fire. And that includes things like having a ton of water, a huge bucket to pour on that water until they can put their hand on it. And it's cold. That's a very important for people who are having campfires to follow campfire safety and make sure that your fire is within the bounds of a, you know, cleared out space and inside of either a metal fire ring that is provided or a well-built rock ring.
Lifting fire restrictions on public lands may worry many residents of areas directly affected by last year's fires. But Armstrong says these experiences are also shared and help to shape the Forest Service decisions.
You know, we understand that people had a really difficult year. So did we. 25% of our national forest burned. And so, you know, we are definitely not interested in having another large or small wildfire. So we are definitely taking this very seriously and giving hard thought to the decisions that we're making here with the fire restrictions, because we, along with everyone else, experienced that last year and we're still recovering from it. So we've been in fire restrictions now for a year and a half, basically, and we're hoping to provide a little bit of relief to the people who do want to go out and have a late season camping experience and make s'mores, but we're going to keep a really close eye on what's happening, like Cody said, and we will go back into fire restrictions if we need to.
Those who plan to recreate on public lands are encouraged to know before you go and check the social media feeds of the parks or go to fs.usda.gov. That's F as in forest, S as in service.usda.gov. You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. When we come back, we'll be joined in the studio by performers from the Boulder Fringe Festival. Stay tuned. The Boulder Fringe Festival kicks off this weekend with a string of performances and theater groups that haven't really been able to perform for the past year and a half. Joined in studio by Grandma and Grandpa Clown, a.k.a. Lynn Grassberg and Ed Miller. Before we get into your specific show, can you talk about the Boulder Fringe Festival in general, when it begins, what people can expect?
Yes. The Fringe Festival has been going on in Boulder for 15 years. It's modeled after the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which has been going on for much longer in Scotland. And I got to go there a few years ago, and I said I want to take a show to the Fringe. And then the Fringe came to Boulder. Very exciting. So there are all kinds of acts, music, dance, lots of theater. There are workshops, and you can find all the information about that on the Boulder Fringe website, which is boulderfringe.com.
And, of course, there's been a big to-do about the return of festivals,
yes,
the return of performing arts. Something that I've personally missed is stand-up comedy. I would say that I binge-watched stand-up comedy during the worst parts of the quarantine part of the pandemic. We're still in a pandemic, of course. But tell us how you feel about being back on stage to be able to have the feedback of people laughing in your face.
Well, we have to say first, sorry to disappoint you, Shannon, but we sit most of the time during the performance.
That's so. Not true.
It's sit down comedy. Okay,
we sit some of the time. We move around. We sit. We stand.
We ride a bike.
Yeah, there's a bike in the show. Yeah, no, he totally tricked out his bike for the show. Okay. It's amazing. Anyway.
And it's electric, so it's allowed. It's an electric vehicle. If it was a bicycle without electricity, it would probably be discouraged.
So tell us about your show. When are your performance dates? And what is it that you do? I mean, you had me introduce you as Grandma and Grandpa Clown, all right? So
okay,
explain
well,
that.
We're both clowns and comedians. And also, we are serious educators. All three. So we're going to talk about all three. He's going to say tell
you the
dates.
I'm a licensed psychologist.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm lots of things. I'm a professional speaker and trainer. And we both teach conflict resolution to children in schools.
Oh, that's so interesting.
But this is not for kids.
This show is not a children's show. This is a rated R show.
I
it's adults. This is one of the things we do is sex education for adults. This is in the adult column. No children. Sorry. You have to be at least 17.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, that's interesting that you do school conflict resolution because that's actually going to be the call-in show immediately
Isn't
after this.
Isn't that great?
I know. It's the world
we
works
may
in
call
mysterious
in.
Ways.
We may try to call in.
You may still be in the studio, right?
Right.
Okay, so tell us a bit about some of the other performances because it's not just your show that's comedy. There's theater. There are other comedy works as well. I saw a photo that made me think that maybe there's dance.
Yes, there is, and there are also other kinds of programs like late night performances. And I don't have all of it in my mind, but again, it's all on the website, and you'll be amazed at the range. It's a smaller festival this year than previously. Partly because we're coming out of not getting to perform at all, and some people have just got day jobs. We're both sitting in our day job outfits. He's got his Renaissance Adventures one where he's a quest leader, summer camp.
All right.
And
all right.
Hold on, kids. I'll be there soon.
I will be. I actually didn't put it on yet, but I will be putting on my security guard jacket when I leave. I'm being a security guard at a bank today.
The one thing she has to not say is, I'm going to go do a bank job.
No, and how is that? Have you always had those other side hustles, or is this something that has become necessary with the closure of live performances?
I've always had a side hustle,
yeah.
At least
same here.
At least three or four of them. It's pretty hard to make a living as a fringe festival artist or as a comedian. Not impossible. We hope to take this bigger. We hope the Fringe is going to help us do that, but we don't expect it immediately.
And I would try making money on the Pearl Street Mall juggling, except I can't juggle.
He can too. He just drops stuff.
But I'm very good at dropping balls better than getting them in the air. So.
And we actually have done the Pearl Street Mall one time, which was really fun.
And you had a dress rehearsal on Monday?
We did. It was our tech rehearsal, really. And then we had a fantasy that we would have an audience for our dress rehearsal.
We did.
We had one really good friend show up. We invited a lot of other people, but it turns out people don't want to watch the dress rehearsal. They want to see the real show.
See, and I was all confused. I was thinking that it opened today. Sorry, I stand corrected. If you heard me introduce it as opening today, I saw something on the website. Must have gotten it wrong.
Right. It opens on the 14th. And why don't you tell them the other dates?
Well, for us, they're the 14th. I have to do this because Grandma Clown is not very good at dates. Let me just tell you how she organizes the world. Grandma, what was last Tuesday?
Yesterday.
It was. Yesterday was Tuesday. You're right. You got that one right. And when we do our show on Saturday, what do you call that?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. And everything else is?
Today.
Right.
All right.
So that's why I have to be the detail person on this. So our shows are on Saturday the 14th, Sunday the 15th. Ooh, we all take a break on Monday, and then we come back on Tuesday the 17th, and then we finish up next weekend with the 20th, the 21st, and the 22nd, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay, and I have here in my hands some handy-dandy tickets.
Uh-huh.
All right, so tell me about what people can win if they... I can't take calls, so you're going to have to do this online.
Right.
Yeah, sorry, folks. DJ at KGNU.org, tell people what they can get.
They can get an hour of laughter and fun if they...
And also, don't tell anybody, but we're also adult sex educators. So this is a spin-off from our workshops that we do. And because we are performers as well, this is the comedy that spins off of that. You might end up with a couple new facts or ideas, or there's no explicit sex or nudity in the show, but you probably come away with some things to try at home.
And these tickets are good for August, the performances on either August 14th, 15th, 17th, 20th, 21st, or 22nd?
Yes, and we prefer that you come opening night because we
come
want
every
on
night.
The 14th. On
yeah,
the 14th.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
tickets usually are for any night.
Yeah, they're for any night, but we would really love to have
or every night
a big audience the first night because that's the hardest one because people are just finding out about it.
Okay, so
if you win the tickets, you could come every night or give them away on the other nights.
Okay, sure. So I have two tickets that are available to the first two people who can go to the program on August 14th. Please make it to where you can go on August 14th at 7 p.m.?
6:30.
Okay. Yeah. August 14th, 6:30. You can drop me an email, dj@kgnu.org. Put in the subject line, Boulder Fringe Festival. The title of your show is Laughgasms?
Laughgasms. What's the title, Graham? Subtitle.
Well, the subtitle is Sex in the Prime of Life, 60s and Beyond.
Okay. Well, we are in the final stretch of this interview. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
I want to sing a little excerpt from the show.
Better hurry.
Have at it.
This is how we met. It was a sex chat room on the internet. It was the best phone sex that I had yet. And it went on and on and on for months till one day I heard him say one word, Colorado. I said, whoa, I live in Colorado too, just a 45-minute drive from you. I Googled it.
And 2,000 kisses and 3,000 laughs later, here we are on KGNU. We're so proud.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Grandma and Grandpa Clown, a.k.a. Lynn Grassberg and Ed Miller. Thank you so much for coming into the studio. Up next, it's time to check in with Brigitte Mars, who brings us her weekly episode of Naturally.
Greetings, welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars to talk about a fruit that we just love to have in the summertime called peaches. Yes, peaches are a member of the Rosaceae family. So they are a relative of pears, apples, plums, apricots, almonds, strawberries, cherries, and blackberries. Yes, peaches, Prunus persica, meaning native to Persia. Oh, they're so amazing. Peaches are sweet and sour and have a cooling energy. Perfect thing to eat on a hot summer's day. They're rich in beta carotene, which is great for our immunity and our skin and our lungs, as well as vitamin C and calcium, boron, magnesium, potassium, and even flavonoids, which improve our assimilation of vitamin C. So peaches are not just nice to eat. They are quite medicinal as well. They're an antioxidant, and they're a digestive aid and an expectorant, meaning it helps to loosen phlegm in your lungs and mildly laxative. Do you know that I like to do peach facials? Sometimes in the morning I wake up, I rinse my face, and I smash a little slice of peach all over my face, leave it on for 5 minutes, and then rinse it off. That's why they say some of us have peaches and cream, vegan cream, complexions. So peaches have been used medicinally to treat things like asthma and hardening of the arteries and high blood pressure, high cholesterol, even ulcers. So they are wonderful to promote circulation, and they are really a wonderful thing to enjoy, and their season is so short. So when you're buying peaches, look for unblemished fruits. Unripe peaches will ripen faster. You probably know this trick, but if you put them in a paper bag and seal it up for a day or two, and then when they yield to the pressure with your fingers, they are considered ripe. When you buy them, you don't want to wash them right away, but once they are ripe, put them in the refrigerator. Eat them alone or enjoy them in fruit salads, cold soups. You can make sorbet, jams, pies, and cobblers. But, you know, I can't really see cooking a peach. How can you really improve it? Find ways to make a raw cobbler, a raw pie, or a raw sorbet. And of course, dehydrating them is a wonderful way to keep your harvest for the winter. And then all you need to do is soak them in water, and voila, you can have peach pie in January. So you are such a peach for listening to Naturally. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars.
And that's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. Thank you for joining us. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to volunteers Jamie Sudler and Steve Miller for headlines production, and to Brigitte Mars for her weekly segment, Naturally. A reminder that if you'd like to share a comment with KGNU, call us at 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesday mornings at 8:25 during the Morning Magazine.